Hi, hello, and welcome. This is the Zonecast, where we interview emerging professionals, entrepreneurs, and academics. And today we have with us on the show Travis Canelos. He is the Chief Strategy Officer of Elevate Farm. Hi, Travis. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I am good, and I'm excited for this particular interview and talking to you. Can you share your professional and personal background?
Yeah, so kind of been all over the map through my kind of entrepreneurial career. Started in health and wellness and kind of the app space. Owned some fitness facilities along the way in all around that industry, and then went from there into the cannabis industry and started a company, a public company called New Strike, recognized more so by our brand name, which was Up Cannabis. And from there, moved into kind of where I am now, which is Elevate Farms. So very excited to be where I am now and pretty in an emerging space that is extremely green and sustainable. And we're looking to feed millions of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can you talk about Elevate Farm, what the company is, how the idea came about, and the story behind the venture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've been around for about 15 years in kind of the research and development side of the business, and kind of interesting, you know, we've worked with and consulted for folks, at University of Guelph, who are leaders in the industry and photobiology research, NASA, MIT, et cetera. So we've built a pretty interesting tech and IP platform over those 15 years. And then about 3 years ago, we commercialized a huge phase of the business in our first full-scale operational pilot, where we effectively grow leafy greens in a fully automated facility indoors, effectively in an indoor ag environment. And since then, we've kind of blossomed as a company.
Mm-hmm. So the idea is you provide equipment which allows people to do indoor farming, correct?
Correct. So, you know, the business has kind of two arms. The first arm is we operate very much in a franchise model. That franchise model, we've partnered with folks in Canada, New Zealand, and other parts of the world to develop the business itself. Selling farms, yes, but we are very much integrated in partnerships with those folks. Those partnerships run pretty deep in terms of, you know, tech and IP licensing, as well as, operationalizing the facilities, onboarding human resources, and building out those businesses. And the other side of the business is a wholly owned corporate model where we own and operate our own facilities as well. So kind of two arms, two real, you know, I guess arms bolstered by our tech and IP at the heart of it.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of like the customer, can you talk more about the target customer who can use this kind of product?
Yeah, so the target customer can be anyone from retail to wholesale, in restaurants and everyone in between. You know, we have, our New Zealand model is more of a direct to retail model where we will be, you know, putting leafy greens in things like clamshells, delivering that straight to market. So that would be in the grocery store and available to folks and consumers in the grocery stores. And then there, the other model, which is our Toronto pilot facility, has for years now been servicing, you know, the Bukas and the Bar Isabels, Grant Van Gameren chefs of the world in Toronto. So it's been a hub for a very critical eye of extremely talented restaurants and chefs. And that's how we started the business there. And then we have our New Jersey facility, which that model is more of the wholesale model. And that food that comes out of that facility goes to someone like a US Foods, who's a major food distributor in the United States. And that product goes to anyone from, you know, Subways to McDonald's to hotels and restaurant chains across the country.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty interesting. So using this equipment, like what kind of farming can people do? Like what kind of produce can you grow, and how much of it can you grow?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we grow, you know, most everything you would find outdoors from a leafy green standpoint. Our facilities here are unique. We've taken a bit of a unique approach compared to a lot of the competitors in the space. You know, a lot of the competitors in the space have gone, you know, kind of to the Whole Foods 1% of the 1% retail market. What we're doing is we are selling traditional farm equivalent products at wholesale market price. And that's something that hasn't been done yet in the industry. So we've built a pretty unique kind of mousetrap around how we're doing things. So for us, it's really about, you know, how many people can we feed at a mass scale? Our facilities, you know, a typical one tunnel facility will produce 1 million pounds of leafy greens a year. And we produce everything from, you know, Tuscan kale to wild arugula to basil to Napa cabbage to, you know, romaine, baby romaine, Mizuna and spinach and kind of everything in between. So pretty wide variety of leafy greens and everything you'd see in the grocery store for the most part. So it's a very interesting way we've gone about this and very interesting products that we produce that you would find in your retail.
Mm-hmm. And how much of it can someone produce? Is it like enough for a family of four, or is this something a busy location restaurant can use for all its grocery needs? Like, what kind of quantities can be produced?
Oh, sorry. I think I lost you there.
Oh, maybe you were on mute or something. So I was saying, like, in terms of like quantity, what kind of quantity can you produce using the equipment? Can you produce for a small family? Can you produce for a busy restaurant? What kind of quantities can be produced?
Sorry, could you? I lost you there for a minute. Could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, so as I was saying, like, how much we talked about what you can produce, but now the question is, how much can you produce in terms of quantities? Is it enough for a family? Is it enough for a busy restaurant? So how much can be produced?
So, yeah, sorry. So we can produce 1 million pounds a year. Now,
1 million pounds of produce a year?
Correct, yeah. So we produce 1 million pounds of product a year out of 5,000 square feet.
Wow. That's
yeah. So it's extremely dense, growing area. The most dense in the world at this point. And again, bolstered by that tech and IP, but really interesting. And we grow 1 million pounds out of 5,000 square feet with only 8 employees.
Oh, that's pretty amazing.
Highly automated and highly dense.
Mm-hmm. And you, what you sell is the facility and the equipment. You don't actually sell the produce. The produce is something that the customers use, the customers grow from your product.
Yeah. So if it's a wholly owned facility, if it's a corporate owned facility, we would sell the produce. Absolutely. Okay. And if it's a franchise, facility, the business model kind of gets broken up a little bit, but we effectively have equity in the partnership, and the partner is responsible for offtake and selling product.
Okay, that's pretty amazing. And how long has the company been around?
So we've been around for 15 years, you know, in the R&D side of it, and the company, you know, Elevate, you know, the commercial side of the business has been around about 3 years.
And have you done any kind of fundraising to support this venture, or is it completely self-financed?
Yep. So we've had a couple rounds of financing. We've raised $11 million to date, and then we'll be starting another round here for $10 to $12 million in the next couple months. So as a company, by you know, June of this year, we'll have raised approximately, you know, call it 20 to 23 million And that'll keep us whole and operational runway for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And do you think this is a highly competitive space? Do you have a lot of direct competitors, or do you think this is still a relatively new space and there is a lot of market potential?
Yeah, I would say the market potential is obviously huge. You know, there's upwards of 20 billion pounds of, with a B, annual consumption of leafy greens. So I would say that, you know, the market potential is quite endless. You know, in terms of the model itself, you know, we're obviously a sustainable model on a closed loop system that can be put anywhere in the world. So for us, it's really about, you know, the competitors in this space we feel are some are in the same space, some are in a bit of a different space in terms of what they sell. A lot of competitors sell microgreens or, you know, herbs, which are more garnishes on plate. And we sell, you know, leafy greens and highly consumed vegetables and leafy greens, which, you know, requires millions and millions of pounds of outputs from our facility to really keep up with demand.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk about what kind of traction you've had so far in terms of sales and also in terms of customer acquisition?
Yeah. So our customer acquisition kind of obviously starts at the top with US Foods. US Foods is a $35 billion company. So that was our first real customer. And then, you know, other customers fall into place. Like I mentioned before, we have, you know, the top restaurants in Toronto, top chefs in Toronto, and everything in between. So it's a pretty wide variety of kind of customer base we have, ranging from, you know, US Foods at the very top of the buying wholesale chain, supply chain, sorry, all the way down to the end user in restaurants and in retail locations.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing if someone is buying this kind of product, they need to have some kind of like farming expertise, because I'm guessing you still need that kind of knowledge, right?
Yes and no. So we have, you know, we have an interesting, so out of the eight humans in our facility, you know, two of them are really, you know, skilled in terms of their knowledge on farming. One is a facility manager, but the other one is more of a horticulturalist or a botanist in some regard that understands a little more about plant biology. You know, other than that, though, no, we have our Niagara facility has several high school students in it, and we do pretty well. The system is very automated. It's very controlled from the algorithms and the IP that that Elevate has. So the system is it's not plug and play by any means, but it isn't that complex. So it doesn't take a team of, you know, PhDs to run it.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody wants to try this, what is the minimum amount of space they need to place this kind of equipment? Do they need a warehouse? Can they put it in their restaurant kitchen? Like, what kind of spacing requirements are there?
Yeah, so, you know, we have, like, our 1 million pound facility, like I said, is 5,000 square feet, as I mentioned previous. And, you know, that's in approximately a 20,000 square foot warehouse, you know, but it can fit into any standard warehouse on the planet. So it's relatively plug and play when we look at a global scale. Global reach requires very minimal, if any, power upgrades, traditional city run water lines in. So again, it's a very, you know, it's a very analogous system in terms of putting it in somewhere and having it constructed inside.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of
No, just to give some context to that size, you know, like 5,000 square feet inside the grow box, you know, is an extremely large footprint of a house. But it's not that big when you're talking about growing 1 million pounds, right? It's a very small footprint to grow 1 million pounds. So it's a relatively small space that's required. But to grow it inside a restaurant, no, we're more of a commercial industrial scale.
Mm-hmm. Are there any like cost savings if people do indoor farming using this kind of equipment? Are there any cost savings over traditional forms of grocery procurement, or is it the same? If you can elaborate on that.
Yeah, so you know we've taken the approach of matching or at least competing against traditional farm product, which means we come out of the gate at a wholesale market price. So, you know, is there cost savings? Absolutely. I mean, there's obviously some resource savings in terms of its renewable, sustainable nature. We're a closed loop system. We're virtually zero waste. All the water in our systems are all recycled and put back into the system for plant feed. So we don't waste any resources. We look at about, if you compare growing a romaine lettuce outside to what we do inside, if you use that as a benchmark or a metric comparable, we're using about 1.5 million liters of water, where outside you would use about 38 million liters of water. So quite a reduction in a simple product like a romaine lettuce. Human resources standpoint, again, we're running a facility with 8 people, which is a pretty small component of farming itself in terms of how we are going about it. So it's highly automated, but at the end of the day, the cost savings are about the land requirements. When you look at products like what we're growing, our 5,000 square feet vertically stacked indoors, our tunnels are equivalent to about 100 acres outdoors. So considerable, footprint savings when you come indoors. And as we know, with land, arable land decreasing, water resources decreasing, those are two pretty big pieces that we need to figure out as a population in the next decade. So it's extreme savings on those two fronts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How do you promote Elevate Farms? Do you have like a particular marketing strategy to get the word out there and create brand awareness?
We're building, I guess the best way I can put it is, we're not building a brand as much as we are a business. It's a very operational business. In terms of, heavy on the operation side and in operationalizing plants and facilities across the globe. Like I said, we've got Canada, New Jersey and New Zealand, either running or coming up and standing up soon. So those are pretty big pieces that we need to focus on. A lot of the branding, comes from our partners. We traditionally would just white label items and have those items sent out, or that produce sent out to restaurants. But for the most part right now, we have not started building a brand per se. We allow our partners like US Foods, et cetera, to do that for us.
All right. That's amazing. And I guess the biggest advantage, or one of the advantages, is like, because you're growing your food, your produce indoors, It is really fresh, right? Because it's not being transported and it's not a few days old. It's like, or weeks or whatever. It's like you produce it indoors, so you eat it when it's fresh and ready. So I'm guessing that must be a huge draw.
Yeah, correct. I mean, when you look at typical produce that we get on the East Coast, at least, Toronto, New York, Boston, Philadelphia, et cetera, Atlanta. We're getting most of our produce from Salinas, California, or Mesa, Arizona, which is traveling on a transport truck for anywhere from, 7 to 14 days. We're placing our facilities very close to distribution centers, or sometimes even inside distribution centers. These facilities, are obviously localized in terms of geographical nature. We're beside major cities or major urban areas. So we're not actually traveling logistically on a truck very far. So obviously the carbon footprint to that is, is, you know, severely, severely reduced. I think, you know, in 2021, to think that a head of romaine lettuce is coming on a truck from Salinas, California to, you know, Toronto for food is quite mind blowing. I think at this point and where we stand as a group, as a population today is quite crazy. So we've removed that logistical footprint, to answer your question. And it's extremely efficient on that front.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. So recently we have been hit by, you know, a big impact economically because of the current situation. Did you experience any particular impact on your business on Elevate Farms? Did you experience any decline or growth in sales? How has this period been for you?
Yeah, so great question. We actually built our first facility in Niagara during the first phases of COVID, which was last March. You know, we've seen obviously an increase of interest in our business over the last year. I think, you know, we as a population always seem to really, you know, get behind the eight ball on understanding sustainability and understanding what a sustainable approach looks like. We're always late to the party as humans, you know. Unfortunately, you know, whether it's the Mayans losing water or, you know, us running out of water, we seem to always learn too late. So COVID has helped us realize the importance of local sustainable food approaches, not only in terms of, like, you know, food to eat, but the logistical footprint behind those and getting it from, you know, whether it's region to region or jurisdiction across different jurisdictions. So it's definitely helped our business and bring more awareness to it, which is great. But also a bit of a shame that humans tend to learn too late in the game. So this is, you know, definitely helping us rather than hurting us.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Can you talk about, you know, what do you like about being part of a venture like Elevate Farm? What do you like about working here?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, I think, you know, me and our team, we all thrive on new business. We're all, you know, entrepreneurial. I think it's for us, it's about, this is a bit different in terms of what we did in the past, in terms of our individual professional lives. It's a very sustainable approach. You know, we feel like we're really serving a need in terms of feeding, you know, millions and millions of humans on a global scale has never really been done before efficiently. We feel like we're on the cutting edge of that, and we are the leaders of the industry in that regard. So I think this business venture, this kind of project feels a little different than the others. Huge upside in terms of its business approach and the potential, again, the potential scale of what we can do, but also, you know, very sustainable approach. In kind of, you know, not saving the planet approach, but at least kind of doing our part to really create a business and create a dynamic that looks to move into the future of what we feel needs to be, you know, a more holistic approach to how we kind of move around and eat and interact as humans.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Can you share a fun fact about yourself? Any interesting hobbies or anything, any interesting experiences?
Interesting experiences. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, I think moving, you know, interesting experiences from a professional standpoint, you know, I was previously in cannabis. Like I said, I started a company called New Strike with a partner, and our CEO at the time, Jay Wilgar. And, you know, when we started that business, it was very much a business and very much, you know, ones and zeros. You know, I'm not a cannabis guy in terms of, you know, usage or anything like that, but it was very much a business opportunity. I think, you know, understanding, you know, after I was done that, moving into a space like this in agriculture that is extremely sustainable in terms of the Elevate model, I think is a bit of a 180 in terms of how we're going about things, which I find interesting, a bit of kind of growth for myself as well as some guys in the company. So it's been an interesting and fun journey, I would say, over the last few years, for sure.
All right. That's pretty interesting. where do you see Elevate Farms going over the next 2 to 3 years? Any growth plans, any ambitions, any milestones?
Yeah, I for sure. Yeah. I see Elevate will be absolutely a global leader in this business. You know, we will be a top three global leader in indoor agriculture. You know, we feel that when you look at the space right now, you know, when we have our facilities built out in 2021, you know, our valuation should be, you know, creeping upwards of $1 billion. When you look at where we're headed as a group and as a company, and what we're building in the scale in which we're building it, I think is pretty incredible. So yeah, we look to be global leaders in this field, very quickly. Like by the end of the year, 2021, we look to have a top three status in this industry.
All right. That's perfect. Well, Travis, it has been very nice having you on the show and talking about Elevate Farms. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show and sharing your story.
Great. No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You want to share your website? How can people learn more about the business?
Yeah, you can visit us at elevate.farm on the web. That'll give you kind of general, you know, idea about what we're doing and how we're doing it. Give you, you know, a bit of an overview of our facilities and how they function from an automation standpoint. And then, yeah, you can, I guess, check me out as on there as well. And an email myself or anyone on the website if you have any questions. And and that's pretty much it.
All right, perfect. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode and you get a chance to learn about this amazing company and the great product that they have to help you with indoor farming. And as Travis mentioned, you can visit the website and learn more. And thank you so much for listening to Zonecast, and stay tuned for more episodes.